Buenas, Wesana. The message tonight is called, is a title, Non-Contradictory Signs of the Second Coming. Non-Contradictory Signs of the Second Coming. A statement, one time, Lavi Zachariah, a great man of God, who teaches how to defend our faith, tries to define what a non-contradictory law states. And he argues this way. A statement is contradictory unless it has enough evidence or qualifications to support its value. In other words, if my wife and I are walking and having a good walk in the evening, and my brother, one of you, comes and quickly finds us walking, and he says, hey, congratulations. I hear you're expecting a child. At this age? And then, what do you think I'll be thinking? This is my wife. And then my wife will say, yes. And then I say, no. What do you think was wrong with that statement? Talk to me. If my wife, if you're walking and you just come and say, congratulations, I hear you're expecting a baby, my wife will say yes, and then I'll say no. What do you think? There's something wrong, right? We're either having humor, or the woman walking with me is not my wife. Because my wife is not pregnant. Or my wife hasn't broken the news to me that she is pregnant. All right? So you see, there's already contradiction right there. The point is, you cannot have a contradictory answer if you ask the same question at the same time and elicit different results than or different answers. That question is contradictory. You cannot ask the same question at the same time and meaning the same thing and elicit the same absolutely opposing answers. No. The problem we have today, that's what it is, the contradictory message. If it is yes for both of us. The answer remains yes. But we cannot have two opposing answers if, for sure, this is a non-contradictory message. How many are familiar with what we call, there's a radio station called Family Radio. Family Radio, Oakland, California. If you have time, please Google tonight. familyradio.com. Today it is saying 6 days to the judgment day. In other words, according to Mr. Kapin, Harold Kapin is the owner of the program, he says that the judgment day is coming May 21. So if you get to the website, big thing is saying 6 days to the judgment. The bottom line is this a contradictory message or is not a contradictory message? If the Bible says no one knows the coming of Christ except the Father himself, and then we have somebody comes and tell me 6 days to the judgment, is this a contradictory message? It is a contradictory message. And therefore cannot fit into the law of non-contradictory. It cannot. If Christ says he even himself doesn't know when he comes back except the Father, and someone tells me 6 more days, this is two same statement eliciting two opposing answers. This is contradictory message. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we are in trouble because today we are living in those days where we will hear all these messages and we are not sure to determine which way we should go. And the Bible is very, very clear about what it says to us. I want my brother to read for us. Matthew 24, verses 1 to 14, very quickly. Matthew 24. All right, my sister. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, as we approach to the throne of grace, we pray that you may reveal this truth that contradicted by many, that the reality and the only truth that cometh from you capture our minds, our souls, and teach us and instruct us according to your word. In Jesus' name. If Christ came, let's say Mr. Catholic is right. And argue that in 6 days, Christ is coming. What would you do? Let's say not even coming is wrong. Christ is coming within the next 6 hours. What would you be doing? What can you do to prepare? If Christ is coming within the next 6 hours, what about 1 year? What would you do? What are you doing different now that you'll be doing if you know Christ is coming? Let me give you the setting of this situation when Jesus started talking about the signs of the end. It was on the third day of the week. And this was just before the Friday, the day that we know was mourning and painful and hateful for those who did not like Christ. So it was on the third day, and third day on a Wednesday, Christ walks in the temple. And here he finds all the scribes and the Pharisees and the big leaders in the synagogue. And in Matthew 23, he talks about all seven of them, that the leaders who are here, who are hypocrites, they look like sepulchre. It's like a... Do you guys know funeral homes here? I don't know in your area, but Lancaster County, you can tell a funeral home. It's so beautiful outside. It's so beautiful outside. And even before I knew it, I would say, wow, that house is great. But don't tell me to go in, because I would not like to be a guest in that house. So here is Christ. On the third day, he is in the synagogue. He is talking. He finds the Pharisees. He finds the leaders. And he talks about all the seven walls that these people are gonna feed. He argues, even to the way he says, they are just like whitened sepulchre, which means it's like a grave, like a grave inside. Outside is so beautiful, but what lies inside is filthy, dirty, ugly, smelling things. And here is the Son of God in the synagogue, and he's talking to all these things. You can imagine the disciples, what they are wondering going on with this, with their leader here. They have no idea what's going to happen on Friday. Their eyes are closed. They don't have any understanding. And here Jesus pronounced the seven woes of divine judgment upon professional religious leaders who have led the nation to reject him. Remember, he came to his own people and his own people received him not. And these were the same leaders who have led the nation to reject the Son of Man in Matthew 23. And Christ, knowing that his end is near, he offers this final word statement to the leaders. These are the professional leaders in the church, in the synagogue. And he says, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Matthew 23:39. After talking about all the hypocrisy of the leaders, with anger and with pain, remember that Christ knows what is coming on Friday. So he's going to tell it all to the nation. And then finally, he concludes talking to them by saying, "You will not see me again in this synagogue until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus left the synagogue. I'm giving you the setting so you can find where we are with this scripture. He left the synagogue. He goes down the Kidron Valley. I had one time the privilege of visiting Israel, so I can see the Kidron Valley, going to the Kidron Valley. And when you are in the Kidron Valley, at the time, there was this Mount of Olives, because this is what we call the Olivet Discourse. He is giving this message at the Valley of Kidron. At the Valley of Kidron, he can see the temple and then Jerusalem all the way up. And here, he is with his disciples only. So this is a kind of a private message he is now giving to the disciples. He has put the people he loves so dearly to give them to be aware of the enemies who will be coming. Be alert, because these things that we have read, they're going to come to you. Why didn't the Lord Jesus choose to give this message in a public setting? Because he cared for his own people and he knew the time is coming and they're going to be in trouble if he is not preparing them. The worst thing we are doing, men, is not preparing leaders to take over tomorrow. And here is the Lord preparing his disciples to be ready. Don't forget, this message is the second longest sermon Jesus Christ ever gave. The first one, the longest, is the Mount of Sermon. The Sermon on the Mountain, on Matthew 5. That was the longest message Jesus gave. And this Olivet Discourse is the second longest message Christ gives in his life, in his 3 years of the ministry. Not only that, this is the longest prophetic section in the New Testament outside the book of Revelation that Christ talks about. And I'm saying this because I want you to understand the importance of this message of Christ. With his own people, his own disciples, outside from the public, and he gives the longest prophetic message of his time. So we cannot minimize this important message. If it is that important in the Bible, it is the second longest. It is the longest prophetic message that Christ gave. Then we must explore the importance of this message. Are we together? Are you falling asleep on me? There will be a quiz after this. There will be questions. The master will be crucified in the next 2 days. He will be crucified in the next 2 days. They have no idea. They have no idea. Just like you and me, you don't know when Christ is coming. And we are sitting here comfortably and running with our daily business and not making our ways right with God. And we don't know. Then Christ pronounces 6 good signs that you must watch these signs. In verse 4 and 5, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. I call the first sign spiritual deception. The first sign, spiritual deception. The first sign is a reminder that religious charlatans, the impositors, pretenders, may be found in every age. They may be found in every age. If you think about what this scripture particularly means in Greek, it means it is not something that is just happening now. It is something about the future. It is a happening that is going to take place in future. But also it says it has been, it is a sign that has been there from generation to generation. In our own generation today, we can only think like people like, do you know who is David Koresh? You know that guy? Koresh? David Koresh? You don't know the guy called David Koresh? Do you know Jim Jones? You know these people? The people who take all the people and put them in a place and tell them the Christ is coming, let us wait for him, and they end up in suicide. And he has so many followers, and they are following all of them because our eyes are darkened, we cannot see the light. And they are all there. And these are our times. We see this happening. And yet, we are still following these people. As we approach the end of the age, spiritual deception will increase because spiritual trustfulness will increase. In other words, you and I will continue to trust anybody who stands on the pulpit and tell us Christ is coming on May the 21. And with our stupidity and foolishness, and our narrow-mindedness, we follow this guy because we trust him so much. That is what we call spiritual trustworthiness. We are trusting someone without, first of all, taking the statement, what he is saying, and weighing it under the law of non-contradictory. Every statement that is going to be made by individual here, we must weigh it in the law of non-contradictory. Because the law, a statement cannot be contradictory and elicit two contradicting answers. No way. If someone going to come and tell me, you must first of all give offering so that I can be anointed to preach, you need to do it. Why do I have to buy anointing with your own money? This is God freely given. Yet we are so narrow-minded, we do not know what the Bible says. And that's why Elavi Zakaria says, we must know what we believe. Let my people think. Everybody who comes from Kenya, I'm not a jinga wako America. We can collect all the money. And the preachers who come far and wide so that they are with a hidden agenda. We must weigh what they are telling us under the law of non-contradictory. Everything must be measured under that. You must get what I'm telling you guys. You're not getting it. Listen. The same question or the same statement at the same time, meaning the same thing, cannot give two absolutely opposing answers. If my wife is pregnant, she will say yes, and I will say yes. If the Bible tells me Christ is coming on 6th, then I'm going to go to the counter check. The Bible tells me, what did Jesus mean by saying only the Father knows when he is coming? We must weigh. Whatever statement, brothers and sisters, we get, we must weigh them under the law of non-contradictory. We must. If we don't measure them under the law of non-contradictory, we are going to follow all the people. Having turned away from the truth, people will follow anyone who speaks with authority and promises to help solve their problems and give meaning to their daily life. How many of the preachers have told you to hold your checks so that I can pray that God is going to bless you? And then you write $500 and give it to them and they disappear and they buy a $4 million home. Gosh, this is not Bible. The Lord is not a conditioned God that is going to bless you if. There's nowhere the Bible says if. But my sister says you give cheerfully from your heart. You don't even need to know how much I'm giving it. But don't tell me to hold my check. Everybody, river, river. That is not the Bible. That's not the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. We do not understand it. And that's why we are getting all the people coming with authority here to speak. And we, because of our trustfulness, to our ministers, we just start following them. Kama mbuzi tu, hana kama kodo tu, inafuata tu, tunaenda tu. Have you seen people in demonstrations in Nairobi, even in America? Have you seen people running because others are running? And if you ask them why are they running, they don't know. They found people running and everybody started running. Why are you running? I don't know. Everybody's running. You've seen that? So we'll be following people and we don't know the truth because we have trusted them so much. We must weigh their message under the law of non-contradictory. That's all the point I'm saying. We must weigh what they're saying. All this deception will come to a climax where the Antichrist displays his authority. In other words, hamujaona kitu. We haven't seen anything. Remember, it will come, it was there, it will continue up to the last minute. But the question that still remains, how then do I know this is the real coming of Christ? If these signs were there in times of Christ, they are here in our times, and the Bible says they will continue to happen. The question for you and me to think is, how then do I know when is the real time that comes? I'll tell you this shortly. Those deceiving spirits are in the world today, brothers and sisters. And their evident success rate seems to be very, very high. They have thousands of people following them. They are very successful. Those deceptions. They are very successful. Because we do not know. One of the things that really I like about the Muslim, unfortunately, is that they know how to defend their faith. And one thing about the Jehovah Witness is that when they hit the door, that knock at your door, they're going to sweep you with the scripture that you cannot even defend your faith yourself. Because we do not know what we believe. We cannot defend what we believe. We cannot defend what we believe. That's why Rabbi Zakaria says in his ministry, let my people think. There's a guy who argued with the professors in Yale, in Harvard University, defending his faith. We must seek the scripture and not listen to this. Look with me, verses 6 and 7. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. It has not come yet. The end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The point here is what we call global conflict. That's the second sign. Global conflict. The Greek text, when you hear, it means you will be hearing, which means for those people who study English, you'll be hearing, meaning that we live in an age of an ending commotion of upheaval. It is an ongoing thing. The real interpretation of the Greek of this word is, you will be healing, which means it's an ongoing thing. And if it's an ongoing thing, when shall we know the end? We will know, because God's word never contradicts. A gentleman by the name called, is a Russian guy, he was a Russian member of parliament, and once commented and said, if you are seeking a peaceful world, you really picked a wrong century to be born. If you are seeking a peaceful world, you are really seeking, you are born in a wrong century. In other words, these wars will continue. So you've heard about Osama? And so we thought that now there will be peace, and now we relax. So you have heard about Rwanda, you have about Kosovo, you have about Lebanon. Even recently you have heard about Libya, you have about Egypt, you have about Tunisia. And not long time ago we were in Kenya. These signs will come, and they will continue to come. These signs were there. Even before the Roman Empire was one time the ruling world, the ruling empire was gone. Then the Soviet Union came. It was in power. It is gone. The United States is in power. It is on the way to corrupt now. It's now the Chinese now is a threat. What are all these things happening to us? These are the signs of the global conflict. They will continue to come. Christ said, such things must happen. Such things must happen. This simply means that we cannot avoid to see these things. We cannot. We are going, the world is marked with warfare everywhere. And we are seeking for peace. It is not going to happen, brothers and sisters. One boy was trying to, I had this guy the other day say like this. There's one boy who was so hungry. And he asked, Mom, what can I do? And the mother said, do you know the reason why your stomach is aching? Because your stomach is empty. So the boy had to eat a lot of food. So the following Sunday comes. You know, kids are very innocent. They are wonderful. They are walking, and they get into the church. And the boy greets the pastor in the church and says, Pastor, how are you doing? And the pastor said, my head is aching so hard. And the boy said, because it is empty. Because it is empty. Kids are so innocent. They can say anything. So these commotions of the warfare, they will continue. And we are going to be empty thinking that now it's over. It's not. And I will tell you when you will know the signs. Turn with me, verses 7 and 8. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All this are the beginning of birth pain. They are beginning of birth pains. The third sign Christ talks about is called natural disasters. Natural disasters. Many writings today, they use the word pestilence. Pestilence, which means in verse 7, a pestilence is an outbreak of disease of an epidemic level. Like the one in Haiti, cholera. Cholera is an epidemic that is now beyond limit. It's sweeping that little island. Now, this is a little bit scary. But what this means is that one needs only to think. Think about something like called anthrax. Think about smallpox, how it sweeps many, many countries. It's an epidemic. And it finishes the whole Ishagi. Are we in darkness that we do not know. Famines are taking place today. Earthquakes. Outbreaks of diseases have been with us since the beginning of time. This is not the first time. They are with us today and will be with us tomorrow. They are not over yet. These things, bad as they are, do not in themselves point to the last days. Listen carefully. Even as much things are so bad that we see the world is coming to the end, they are not pointing yet to the last days. They are like birth pangs or labor pains. Who can explain the labor pains better than a mother? Think about this, men, because you've never been pregnant. Think about this. Because this is an image that really can help us to understand. And women can connect this. Women can connect this. When a woman is pregnant, he knows from the calendar the so-called expected date of delivery. Ask the first lady. She'll tell you even more. She knows. She knows about this. And others, expected date of delivery is known very well. Now, it comes to a time the body of a woman begins to send some specific signals as the day approaches for the baby to come. I can see women nodding their heads. They can connect with this. As we come closer, there are signals now coming. I watched my wife with three pregnancies. We were blessed. The first one were twin girls. So she had three for four. She's a good football player. And so we were saved to go for the fourth time, as much as we wanted four children. And then sometimes you follow these signals, they'll come and you hear them, you feel them, these kind of pains. And what do you call them, ladies? What do you call them? They are kind of labor pains, but they are not real. They are not. You're not going to rush to the hospital right away. You wait. They are false, isn't it? So you wait a little bit. Meanwhile, the guys are just shaking. Those young men who have not had the babies, they are watching them and saying, "Hey, let's go, let's go." And the woman is saying, "Not now, not now, not now." Because the woman can tell when these signals come. Now, those signals are called labor pains. Then they begin with low intensity and low frequency. Yes? Yes? Yes, ladies? Low intensity and low frequency. Zinakuja too. Sometimes they can go for several days and then suddenly stop. And then kijana anaanza kuangalia what happened to the baby and the baby was coming. Once, after a while, then they may start again and stop several times. And this is what we call forced labors. They won't rush you to the hospital. But eventually, the pains come more frequently. Is that true? And with greater intensity. Not just frequently, but also with greater men, get ready. Their wives are not yet. Because these things, you're going to hear them. I watch my wife. In the end, the pain comes rapidly and finally in one great burst, boom, the baby cries. As if I was there. In my time, men would never went to watch women give birth. In my time, no. It was a taboo. Right, Pastor? I drove her all the way to Annex in Nakuru. See you. Went back to the office, sitting there waiting for the phone call from the doctor, from the nurses. And then I started walking 4 inches above the ground. I'm a father of twin girls. So we didn't see. But I know these things. So the final burst, before it gets, is coming with frequency and with high intensity. Frequency and high intensity. Our last born, Sammy. My wife almost had this baby in the house. I said, I think she made ugali. Ugali is a very good catalyst. She made ugali. We had lunch. And then after that, my friends and I were there. We decided, okay, she's fine. So to come watch her, my friend, we left his wife and my wife at home. And then we decided to go, back to work after lunch. Then I saw the woman coming, rushing. Hey, Papa Mukulia, bring the car. What's happening? Women, they know this thing. We get her in the hospital. It didn't take 10 minutes. The baby was calm. Now, I'm giving you this image to understand when the end of the times will come. I'm giving you this to have a picture. The coming kingdom of Christ will be preceded by unprecedented period of 7 years. In other words, you are going to see frequency of great liars coming and great preachers. And there will be so many and thousands of people be following them. The sign of the last sign of the coming of Christ is not yet over. You have to watch frequency and the intensity of those things. Frequency and the intensity of those things. It will be coming so, so fast. I believe when the 7 years come that the Bible talks about, as the Bible says, the church of Christ will be already taken away and is not going to experience the 7 years of torture. And that's my belief. That's my position based on the first Thessalonians. But I'm telling you this, brothers and sisters, the signs, we'll see them, but remember, in the last days before Christ comes, the world will see so many disintegrated systems. We put our trust in the government, in the system, they will all collapse. But the time is not. My time is almost over. And Matthew 24 and verse 9 says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and to put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And the fourth sign means fallacious or brutal persecution. Brutal persecutions will come. We don't even need to talk about this. We know how many Christians are dying in Muslim countries because of Christ. America is nothing not to take the Bible. It's a big deal in schools. Think about the Christians who are dying just because of having the Bible in those Muslim countries. Americans cannot understand this. They don't even know what it is. They have never felt or experienced the suffering of Christians who have suffered because of the gospel. For us who live in America, we have nothing. They don't about anything. But in many places, persecution and hatred for Christians continue to rise. That trend will continue in the days to come, and you come to a climax at one time in the final day preceding his return, it will burst like the baby coming. In other words, it's going to be worse. So you have not seen anything. It is coming. And verse 10 and 12 says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. In other words, the fifth sign, widespread of apostasy. The widespread of apostasy. In other words, widespread of false prophets, false teachers. These verses paint a picture clear of the religious apostasy. Those are the ones we are talking about. They stand before the pulpit. They don't even talk about the power of the resurrection. They don't understand the blood of covering. But they come like sheep and they will deceive us. They will tell us in these last days. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, watch, because there are many. Watch, because there are many. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then, listen, and then the end will come. In other words, before the final return of Christ comes, sign number six, there will be worldwide evangelism. Very positive. There will be worldwide evangelism. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Christ is Lord. Because every nation will hear about the coming of Christ. Not a single person will not hear. It is God's desire to bless all nations through the seed of Abraham. Jesus Christ has commissioned us to take the gospel all over the nations, and this must be fulfilled before his coming. The coming of Christ is delayed so that you all people may come to repentance. He's not coming back until all those who have not heard the gospel have heard the gospel. In the last days, a vast multitude will come to Christ from every nation. Matthew 24, brothers and sisters, it is a sounding trumpet that Christ is about to come. But listen, watch the frequency and the intensity of events and measure every single statement you weigh under the law of non-contradictory and stand firm to the coming of Christ. The Bible says it is the word will be preached. It will be preached to all the nations. Third, only then does the end come until everybody has heard the word. That's not positive. How do we know? We still have got many nations who have not heard the gospel. Where will you be if that time comes tomorrow? If that comes, the next 1 minute you get out of this door, where will your heart be? Will you be with the Lord? These signs will present in every generation. But watch the frequency, the intensity of these signs and prepare yourself because the man of God, the Son of Man is coming. The history you're talking about is the story of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, fear not when you see all these things. Number one, fear not when you see all these things. Two, get your life in order. Because if you're prepared, you don't have to worry about anything. Third, keep your eyes on the sky. Keep your eyes on the sky. Because Christ will come. And he's coming soon. But you don't know. You watch the frequency and the intensity of events taking place. And listen to all the false preachers. And weigh their message under the law of non-contradictory. They cannot have two opposing answers. They cannot have two opposing answers. Fear not. Be ready. If Christ comes now, are you ready for him? There's no time to pray, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to get serious with the Lord. It is not the time to be religious. It is time to get right with God. It is not a time to be emotionally moved that you can only worship the Lord. If we have given you a handle, like, you know, zile makali ya zamani, unapigwa handle ili ugurume. No. Be prepared to worship the Lord all the time. You don't need to be in an emotion in order to preach the Lord. That is emotion. You must get your inside man right with God. It is not the time for emotion. Get serious with God. Get serious with God. Let me put it to you in a plain language, then I finish. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know Christ today as your personal Savior, you better know him now. If you don't know him today as a Christ, you better know. The Lord puts this message to the very loved people, his disciples, in the Mount of Olives. And he
took them in a quiet place to tell them, my sons, be ready. God has put us in together in a fellowship like this one. Coming from different denominations. I'm coming from a Presbyterian church. You are coming from wherever you are coming. But God has put us together. As one love.